women. So he did that of Pennsylvania towns.
Oh, wow.
Just for himself. Yeah, and he gave us the song.
And he actually, didn't he perform that?
For Obama.
For Obama when he was running in 2008 or something like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of towns.
It's, yeah.
He performed at the Lycoming County Spring Banquet.
Billy Kelly?
Yes.
Oh.
And that, it was awesome. Yeah. Absolutely awesome. And he has some new stuff, too.
Yeah.
Pertaining to Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's Grammy nominated. Yeah. Or he's also a comedian. He likes to say, Lewisburg's only Grammy losing artist.
Does he have a YouTube channel?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sure.
He does kids' music, too.
All right.
So we've just all come from the Mark and Judy debate. You want to say anything else, Taylor?
Yeah, so we're up here in Clinton County, Lock Haven.
Fine people in Clinton County.
Oh, absolutely. I really enjoyed my time here. It's actually my first time in Lock Haven.
Me too.
We were at the Moose for the Judy Herschel, Mark Greenberg debate at the Moose. And now we're at the Broken...
The Broken Axe.
The Broken Axe.
A fine microbrew.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We should see if they would like to be sponsors.
We should. We have a long list of people that we've asked to be sponsors that have never gotten back to us. And maybe they can join the ranks of those folks.
So we're going to go around and have each person just say, like, who you are and just a few words about, you know, what you do.
Yeah.
Can we start with Bill?
Yeah, my name is Bill Minster. I'm from Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. I lived here my entire life. I went to high school here, went to college here. Married and have two kids. I work at Penn State, and that's it.
And you also ran for city council in Lock Haven, right?
I did. I ran for city council in Lock Haven. I lost by 4 votes. So if anybody ever tells you that your vote doesn't matter, you can tell me that I know, because every single vote matters.
Dan Reeder, I've been a lifelong resident of Lock Haven in Clinton County. Move outside of town now for 74 years. Third generation of our family living in this area. We now are up to 7 generations from the area.
Does that mean you have great grandkids?
No. We don't have any children. Rosemont, if I don't have any children, we have nieces and nephews, and we count all branches of the family.
I see.
That includes over 50 nieces and nephews, probably. It's hard to even think of their names to count them.
Don't.
We now have 2 great, great, great nephews. 3 times great nephews. So wow. We've been around for a while.
Awesome.
We've been around Clinton County.
Well, I'm Sue Morris, and I live in Mill Hall. I am not a lifelong resident. I was not raised even in Pennsylvania, but I've made my home here and raised my children here at Clinton County. So I live here by choice, not by DNA, and I love it here. I mean, I've lived many other places, but I've lived here for probably since I graduated from Penn State, so a long, long time. And I don't think I'd
want
to live anywhere else. I like it.
Yeah. I am Trevor Dietz. I also live in Mill Hall. I am Trevor Dietz, and I live in Mill Hall. And I am also a lifelong resident of the area. It's been a short life, but we're getting there.
Are you, you're clocking in at 22, 23 years?
21.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I am 21 years old. I am a student at Lock Haven University. I study secondary education. I also love the area and love being a part of it.
My name's Scott Myers, born and raised in Hughesville, Pennsylvania. I went away to college in Blair County for a little while at Penn State Altoona. I graduated with a political science degree, and I've recently moved back to the area, kind of still waiting to either go back to school or find a good job. Currently, I'm working for a family business and just enjoy volunteering in local politics.
Of course, Taylor.
This is Taylor Lyman. Standard co-host here.
This is Jordy. So, do you want to lead off? Or you want? What did y'all think?
Yeah, what did you think? Just really quickly, 10 or 15 seconds here. initial thoughts on the debate. All of you attended and are voting in the Democratic primary, is that correct?
Correct.
All right, good, yeah.
I thought they both did well. There were some things I liked about both candidates. There were some things that I found troubling, or I had concerns about with both candidates, but I think on a whole we have two strong candidates that if either one makes it, whoever makes it through the primary would be a formidable opponent for Mr. Marino.
Other thoughts?
I think they both did great, and I didn't have any over complaints or any specific complaints that I could find. I couldn't find any flaws in them. I'm disappointed that it made the choice even more difficult for the primary election.
I thought they were both very well informed and knowledgeable and extremely articulate. And anyone who would take on a task like this has got to be somebody who is committed and devoted to the democratic process,
right,
and deserves a lot of credit and support from everyone.
I think they're both still working. Yeah.
Two working people with young children who are completely committed to reaching out to the public.
It's extremely impressive.
It's very impressive, and I give them both a lot of credit, and I wish they could both.
In sort of a David and Goliath type election too.
Well, yeah. they're both competing to be David.
It's a huge difference and very difficult to follow. Yeah. Lots of square miles.
It's enormous.
It's impressive that Judy said she's visited every single county and every single region more than once. Yeah. With having two kids, with working.
She's definitely very committed to the process. It's admirable. And exhausting, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh.
My overall impression of the debate was a positive one. I think that coming away, I feel that we have two really strong candidates. And I think we have two that bring different assets to the table, but overall positive assets. I think that they're both definitely committed and invested to the region and the party as a whole. And I think that no matter our decision made as a party, that we'll have a strong candidate moving forward.
I definitely have to agree with Trevor in the fact that I think each candidate brings forth their own specialties as to their own platform, and I think each of them are going to be positive and strong within their own little branch. But overall, I think they're both wonderful candidates. And Tom Marino, I think there's going to be enough of a consensus this year. Even independents and maybe some Republicans are going to be willing to get him out. So I think both of them have a very strong chance of winning.
What were some of the differences that you all noticed? And we don't have to go round robin every time. Just anyone can answer.
They have very different styles.
Yeah.
Very different styles.
How would you describe one or the other style?
I thought Judy was really a go-getter and completely committed and obviously putting forth huge amounts of energy to make connections with people. That's so admirable, and she's obviously done a very, very good job. I thought Mark was incredibly articulate and showed a very good command of the situation, of the politics at hand, the issues, very well-spoken, humorous, I thought he will make an excellent candidate.
You could certainly tell from the beginning that Judy had a lot of passion, and you can certainly tell that Mark has a definite command of a room. He can captivate people, he can talk, and he has a very good use of the English language. He knows big words.
He started with Kakistocracy.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, all in all, it's interesting. I think one will play better in the rural areas,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to the other one. But both of them have such great ideas that can spread across all demographics. all areas and play well both in our small metropolitan areas and our very rural communities. I just hope that that everybody gives them an opportunity to and listens to what they have to say.
Are there differences that people notice? Did you feel like they agreed too much? Did you want them to separate themselves from each other more?
Me, not at all. No, okay. I want them to agree.
Yeah, okay.
That's what we need in Washington, D.C. We need
right.
State level as well.
I think that there was one difference that I noticed. I'd like to see what other people, if they noticed this as well. And this really came as to their approach about crossing the aisle and working and compromising with others. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the big takeaways they can get is it was clear that Judy was more willing to work with Republicans and was more willing to seek out their viewpoints and to try to find common ground. And Mark, while he didn't necessarily say that he wouldn't, he didn't have that focus. His focus was more on pushing a Democratic agenda and trying to overcome Trump and the different cronies that he has. I don't know if anybody else picked up on that.
I noticed that. Mark mentioned Trump a lot more than Judy.
I don't think Judy mentioned Trump really at all, but Mark, it was very present.
And if it was an interesting observation. Yeah, and Judy apparently has just talked to an enormous amount of people. And that has given her, and she comes from Susquehanna County, which is heavily Republican version of her. And that gives her that experience with working with the other people and the other perspective like that. However, I would say that Mark has a good perspective on taking what we would call our Democratic issues and putting them in the proper context to sell them across the aisle. So, once again, it's one of those things I agree. But I think that once again, it's one of those things that kind of levels the playing field and makes it difficult to choose one over the other.
The two things that I noticed were, one was the difference between the health care for all versus Medicare for all. And I actually think that the health care for all is a stronger position and is probably more informed by talking with working people, because, you know, if you talk with working people, they're going to talk about, well, dental care is not on Medicare, and that's really important. So I thought that was actually an interesting juxtaposition that Judy made. The other difference that I noted was I feel like Mark was more willing to give specific things that he knew about gun violence, whereas Judy was more, I don't want to say tepid, but just like, it's a big problem and I don't really know how to solve it, but I recognize its largeness and that it is a problem.
I'm glad you said that, because that was one place where I felt like there was more difference. And I think Judy was pushing back against Mark, saying there's not just one answer. Because Mark went right away, we should ban assault style, you know, AR-15s. And she was saying it's a complicated problem.
Well, I think one of the things, two things on the healthcare issue, I took notes during the whole debate. I take notes every time I go to these meetings. And I mark that down for Judy. And I also mark down the gun control thing in favor of Judy, specifically because of where she's running. And that's one of the reasons why I said about the rural versus the more metropolitan area.
It's very funny that you say metropolitan when we're talking about towns of 3,000 and 4,000.
Well,
we do have listeners. Oh, you mean Williamsport and State College. Still, there are no big cities in this district.
Fair enough, but I think that there's more Democrats there than there are in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania.
You're totally right.
Yeah.
Longtime listeners of the podcast will know that I don't like rural, because I feel like it's town and country, and country. But anyway, keep going.
I got you. But I think one of the things that will play better is Judy's response to, in this area, and specifically on that issue, in this area, some of her ideas would actually curry favor here with the people that those of us from this town know and are related to and talk to on a daily basis.
I agree with Bill.
What's is there a question that you wished would have been asked?
I have one.
Yeah.
Something that kind of struck me was that a large rule of any congressman or woman is going to be helping forward our foreign policy. And there was not a single foreign policy question asked of the entire debate. Yeah.
So that's a great point, Trevor.
I would have liked to see at least one and see their overall policy.
Is there something in particular that you have in mind?
Just anything. I mean, anything from Russia to Syria.
North Korea. Man, that crazy Trump may get away with seeming like he's helped to bring peace to Korea, and
it's an absolute shame.
Yeah.
And I saw a Facebook meme today saying about how he's been president for 1 year and he's already solved the Korean War, where we've had 20 years of presidents who haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Like, come on, really?
He reserves the right to walk away from the table.
Yeah.
Which is probably what he'll do in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. I would like to touch on the topic of the healthcare and the gun reform as well, though, because I think I take a completely different takeaway between Mark and Judy did with the healthcare for all versus Medicare for all, and not so much the slogan. I think the slogan that she provided of healthcare for all is definitely better than Medicare for all, but in the sense that, from what I gather from her speaking, was she still wishes to keep private insurers. There was definitely a sense of me listening to her that she was more for keeping the market exchanges of healthcare insurance policies versus the Medicare for All, which I think Mark was trying to drill home, was a government-funded aspect. With the gun reform, I'm a hunter. I own guns. Actually, my father and I, we have an AR-15 in our home.
Can you live in Hewsville and not own a gun? Like, is that a town ordinance?
It almost is. But from the fact, I think what drove me nuts with one of her answers at one point that really struck me is there's no need for a semi-automatic weapon while hunting. And what I would like to put across, and what I would wish I could have asked her and spoke to her about, is that there are semi-automatic weapons that are not assault-style weapons. There are semi-automatic shotguns that are used for duck hunting. There are weapons out there that are semi-automatic that have purpose other than, yes, an assault-style weapon like an AR-15, which is literally designed to kill a human being. And I agree with that issue. But that kind of struck a nerve seeing that she's from a very rural area and that she went to that extreme with it. I don't think she's going to be able to win independents or Republicans over with saying things that don't, not to sound rude, make sense to a lot of people who are voting on the other side of the aisle.
A critical distinction for gun owners, gun collectors, what have you, hunters, and all the rural Pennsylvania folks, if we would need to hone that down. I agree with that. I think that, I think it needs to be clarified a lot more for our people, rural people, new dwellers. And what needs to be clarified is the idea. I have two friends I used to work with when I worked before I retired. Each had 80 to 100 guns apiece.
These oh my gosh.
They were hunters and they were gun nuts in the jargon. And I have friends and family members that have, I think one has AK-47. And if people are, and I had some of my dear friends in high school on were super gun nuts. The first time I heard the phrase, they're going to take our guns away, and this is true, folks. All you young people sitting around this table and wanting to shoot off my mouth. 50 years ago, my friend George said to me, they're going to take our guns away. And I said, what? Who? Who's going to take our guns away? Well, we all know the story that ensued. The past 450 years, and no serious taking away of anybody's guns has really happened yet. However, that was a very real thing to him. His enthusiast, he could tell you how long it took a bullet to get from here to that telephone. I mean, this guy was 95th percentile in college age people in both math and English. And so it's important to be precise, as you so correctly pointed out. Don't put semi-automatic in the claims category as automatic. The automatic even need to be dealt with carefully. And the way I would suggest is, okay, if you're a gun collector and a gun enthusiast, and you want an automatic weapon, okay, have it. Jump through a bunch of hoops. Make sure that you're a safe person with that thing and have the background, and pay a little more. Have a special fee, a special permit.
And as of right now, they do.
Yeah, you can't own an automatic weapon without a special permit. And one of the things that I get what you're saying, and I hadn't picked up on that with the semi-automatic thing. And, you know, and I didn't realize you were allowed to use semi-automatic shotguns for duck hunting. Like, I used to hunt, and we weren't allowed to when I was hunting.
Well, they've opened up the small game semi-automatic weapons completely.
I think that's wrong, but that's the Pennsylvania Game Commission, so that's an issue for them. But anyways, I think that's a very big distinction that you're correct on, and it needs to be made. I think one of the things that will help both of them is having these kinds of forms. You said they were doing one in the Cumming County in the next week or so.
Yes.
So yes. I think having those debates where they can, these public debates where they can hone their skills and talk with other people and get those that kind of feedback and hear those kinds of things. Because there's a number of different things that I heard that when I said at the beginning that were problematic for me, that I think with practice would be better. And I think it was probably more misspeaking and
just not enough.
I think the biggest surprise for me in the entire debate was I think the opioid crisis was mentioned once.
Oh, right.
You know, and that's like, shame on whoever picked the questions.
Well, they were
that is an essential part of our messaging for this election.
But the questions were from like people who sent in questions, so I think it says a lot about the Democratic primary base.
Yeah, and then also, but the candidate, like Judy, to her credit, is the only one that brought it up. She brought it up once. You know, I think they should have both brought it up in both their opening and closing statements. Like, that is the message. Marino is the most corrupt. I think he's the most corrupt member of Congress. Specific about this issue, it's the one thing I think that we need to be talking about over and over again, more than guns. We're going to bring these people voting for a Democrat because Tom Marino, like, indirectly killed their family members, you know, with flooding the streets with opioids.
I think it says something that Trump actually removed his nomination from drug czar.
He's too bad to work for Trump.
Yeah. Trump had the dignity.
Who else has gotten fired by Trump twice?
This is a bread and butter issue here, and like, shame on us for not talking about it more. This is a central part of the Democratic.
But I agree with your point. But I think it's interesting that it didn't come up. It wasn't the moderate. I think that says something about sort of hardcore Democratic Party activists. That they're sort of focused on a lot of things that are sort of bread and butter Democratic issues, and they weren't thinking about it as much. I want to throw out a different thing. Like, was there one moment where either candidate you feel like they did a really great job? Like, I'll give you one example. When it was, how much would you spend on the wall? And I think Mark said zero.
They both said zero.
I know, but he said it first.
She said it first.
Yeah, she said.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. My bad. I apologize. Judy said it first, but I thought that was a great answer.
Zero.
Yeah. Agreed.
But were there other strong moments for either candidate?
The strong moment for me was when Mark began to talk about it, and Judy pretty much seconded, and they're also very strong about disconnecting Wall Street from the political situation in Washington. That is critically important to me. And I think should be everything.
Other people's strong moments for either one?
In the discussion of net neutrality, Mark definitely stood out. And that obviously goes back. He has the background as even being a professor at Penn State University in the technology field. He definitely stood out in that aspect of even expanding federal funding for getting access into areas that currently either have zero providers or even just one provider, and still going with a marketplace message of not just make it government controlled, but by building the infrastructure federally and then having competition within the market to lower the prices.
We're taking over Republican talking points. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because that struck me too with the net neutrality and bringing competition. We have Comcast here. That's the only way you can get like high speed internet in this town is Comcast. And if you can't get it by the satellite, DirecTV, Dish Network, you can't, they don't serve this area. If you go to Verizon, that's garbage. So you got to have Comcast. So we have one internet provider for this community, and we're all stuck with it if we want to use it to have any decent kind of an internet. And then that's glitchy sometimes, depending on where you live. I had a number of friends the other week that their internet was glitching out in town here. So, and I mean, it's one of those things where we just took over at the Republican talking point there by saying, you know, we need competition in that. There's a monopoly right now, and not only internet provision, but cable and television providing there. There's a monopoly, and we need to break that up.
I
think that was a great point.
I liked when Mark was saying we need to stand up for the press. Like, I just thought that he handled the fake news. It just was, maybe this is me, but it was just more interesting. It wasn't just like, oh, there's problems. Like, he, you know, it's kind of an interesting perspective. But I also think Judy did a good job later on that topic saying there's too much, people confuse commentary and news. That was a way that people can understand that issue.
That's a great point, because MSNBC, CNN, for the most part, CNN, Fox, they're all commentary. They're editorializing shows. They're opinion-based shows. They're not really news broadcasts like ABC, CBS, PBS. Those are news broadcasts. Those are opinion shows. And people take those opinions as, and of course, somebody with their opinion, we all have slanted views. They're based on our biases. So everybody has their opinions, so they're going to be like that. Now, Fox is outright propaganda, but, you know, other than that, I mean, you know, that was a great point, and I did like saying that the fake news was bullshit. I thought that it's just a way to, for the president to just, anything that he doesn't like he said, anything that he doesn't like or he disagrees with, oh, it's fake. It's fake news. It's a sad state for our society.
What did you think?
About the fake news
or just any
strong moments?
Yeah, strong moments.
Or moments when you felt like, oh, that connects with me.
I mean, they both connected with me in different ways. She much more as a grassroots organizer, feet, boots on the ground, making connections with people, talking to people, a lot of Republicans in the area where she lives, trying to educate them on the issues. God knows everybody needs to be educated on the issues, because I think that's the biggest problem, is people are just not educated. And a big part of that is because of the news, because of what people choose to listen to, or just don't listen to news at all.
So maybe to wrap up, should we have people give sort of one, do you have something else you want to do?
I have one strong moment for me.
Oh.
I think honestly my favorite moment of the debate was at an hour and 24 seconds, or an hour and 24 minutes, when Judy said, I will fight my ass off, I'm tough.
Yes.
I don't back down, and I will get this done. Like, that to me is like...
She said, in fact, she said, I am in it to win it. That was one of the few times she pushed, like, Mark was like, I'm in it to win, and she said, I am in it to win, and
I love that fighting bigger. It just really, like...
Which goes against, sometimes she tries to be such a conciliator, I think, in her messaging. This was a different side.
Yeah, I really liked it. I think that was the strongest moment for both of them, honestly.
I agree. I think one of the great things is that it really showed her passion in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that she is really devoted to this, and not only is devoted to win it, but in it for the people that she's meeting on the road and the people that she's still in contact with. And I agree that was a strong moment for her in particular.
I conciliate her comment. I think I took that to be, this is the way, after years of observing the process on multiple levels, I took that to mean that facing the realism she will face if she becomes a member of Congress, where you have to work across the aisle, you have to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, whether the general public and the voters will understand that, that's a different kind of matter.
Yeah.
And I agree. That was inspiring. And it was a good political strategy. That's the kind of thing that incites people. and get them excited about voting in.
So, can we, to wrap up, like on advice people might give to one or the other, does that sound good?
Yeah.
I kind of skipped over how they might be attacked, but I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if we want to do that. Or, you know, you can do what you want. Sort of last thoughts, like either how you think either one might be vulnerable or advice you would have for either one.
I'll say the one thing, and I mentioned this a little earlier, is that for both candidates, just to know their district, and that we have to understand that we all have our Democratic ideas. We all have the policies that we really feel strongly about as Democrats, but we have to understand that to win this election, we need to win over Republicans. We need to win over independents, and that we need to make sure that we're crafting our views and our policies around things that they can get on board with, and that we can't go in and make this a divisive election, but rather one where we can come together as a district for our best interests.
Here, here.
I hope I could go back in time and be in your high school class next year, Trevor.
There we go.
Other thoughts? Advice or... I have one for Mark. Sorry, Matt. I think it's a little bit to know your district. I think it's great to talk about high school students and college-age students and millennials. But I really felt like this is a guy who teaches at Penn State and is a state college product, and that is not a lot of the electorate in the 12th. And I think he needs to... I think Judy did a much better job of talking, and it's because of all of her listening tours, I think, about the people I've talked to. So that's one for Mark.
Judy said she was talking with people for 4 to 6 hours a day. I would advise Mark to do the same. You know, and not just for money, just call him up, see what's going on.
Agreed.
Now, I want to say there's one thing that Judy said that I was impressed with. There were things I was impressed with both of them, but she mentioned that specifically some of the things that she had done was she had called doctors and was asked, talking to doctors for their viewpoints on certain issues and different policies. I was impressed by that not only is she taking time to call people to try to swing the vote or to fundraise, but just to gain information. I thought that was a key point in her favor.
I have another piece of advice for Mark, and maybe it's because I have a background in academia too. I've been a professor. He can be smart, but he should avoid seeming smug. I felt like a couple of times, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, this was me, but do other people agree? Like, he just seemed a little too, like, I know some facts. Like, the cacistocracy, you can use that, but I don't know.
I think that's a valid point.
I didn't feel that way.
You didn't? Okay.
I thought he was intelligent. And yeah. What is the shame in acting like you're intelligent when you're intelligent? Using big words. And, you know, when you go to the halls of Congress, you need to be intelligent and articulate.
Congress, I think there's a distinction here. The distinction is that appearing, I don't think Mark is much.
Right.
He's just bright. He's just on top of the issue. But you have to be careful about that appearance, especially in a rural, close, industrial district.
Now I have one for Judy, but she kept talking to the moderator, not to the audience. I don't know if other people noticed this, and she corrected a little bit the last 15 minutes. Did you notice it?
I was not really.
You didn't have a good angle.
Clear view of the candidates.
But other people are nodding. You noticed that.
Like I said, I think more practice.
Yeah, that'll improve with them more.
I think they'll get better at that, and I think they both. I've listened to Mark several times now. This is probably the fourth time I've heard him speak.
Right.
This is only the second time I've heard Judy speak.
This is fun because I'm the opposite. I've heard Judy speak about five times.
Right, and it's been interesting. I came away with the same impression of Mark that I had the other couple times that I've heard him speak, and I came away with the same impression that I had of Judy the two times I've heard her speak. Each time, and I thought she did great at our dinner, and I came away with the same impression here. She's got passion. She talks to a lot of people. If I had to give them advice, it would be maybe to take the other one's role for a little bit. Like, Mark, go out and talk to more folks. I mean, I know he's done some listening tours, but he was concentrating in the 5th before, so now it's a bigger, not a bigger district, but it's a different...
Bigger in a different direction.
Yeah. So, I mean, he needs to do more what she's done. And then, and for her, is to maybe, you know, get some background on some of those topics, like the net neutrality and some of the gun issues there. And the hit, well, she actually did hit on this, but to keep up with that drug counselor background and talk about those opioids and you're absolutely right, and trying to help our country and our community heal.
I think I'm trying to be fair, even handed. I gave two to Mark, I'll give two to Judy. The other one I'd say for Judy is, I think when she talks about that, I think she should maybe say something like, you know, I've been on the front lines of the opioid crisis. I have helped people overcome their demons, and add some more stories, like the Chad story with Mark. I'll remember that. Like, you talked to Chad. Yeah. She started talking about a program in jail, and I was like, oh, go a little further, you know. So I'm sure she has more, like, one-on-one story, you know, stories about one person or a family, and that's for both of them. But her especially, I want that, you know. Any other last thoughts? Yeah.
I have a comment about the criticism of the debate. And anything could be critiqued and criticized and all things legitimate. One debate brings this immense number of complex issues and potential issues that were out there that weren't discussed. No, it's not going to happen in one debate. And it's not a perfect thing. It's not like the people that made this thing up, which is like over there to a large extent.
Oh, yeah. You we have the debate organizer. Let's give her a hand.
They had all the time in the world to hone this down to the perfect thing. A team of experts could have spent 3 weeks doing this. She had a couple of days and did it with some help from our friends in the party. But, yes, the criticisms are valid. It's just, let's have more discussions and include the opioid crisis. Include the foreign policy, especially. You know, that's like,
well, in the shameless plug category, I think we're set up to have them on the podcast. Are we still trying to do that? We can't promise.
Let's talk about that on the pod.
Kudos to the people of Clifton County for coming out.
Absolutely.
To a debate on a Thursday evening.
And kudos to all of you for sticking around at the Broken Axe.
Clinton County, Lycoming County. There were about five people from Union County I saw.
Yeah, and thank you to the Clinton County Democrats and to Rose over there.
Rose for organizing it.
Yeah, for organizing, yeah. And Moose for hosting.
And Moose for hosting. And also, you know, we have the audio of the podcast, and it's thanks to the Rose and Joe and the other Clinton County Democrats who let us come in, and not on this podcast, but we'll thank them there, too.
And also a big shout-out to Steve Lynn, who really helped us out with the audio. I was freaking out for about 5 minutes while it was not working, but
well, and I gotta
Steve
say,
was so even keeled about
his
it.
His taste in spouses is known for many counties, I think, right?
He's a pro.
Yeah.
He's a rock and roll legend in this county.
All right, thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thank you.